purposes. One call, that's all.
Giannis left of the lane. He's going to pull up with a hand in his face, and he will sink the 15-footer from left of the lane. And has reached 14,000 career points now in his illustrious career as he tracks down Kareem.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Thompson catch and shoot three on net. I mean, it is automatic right now for Clay. Clock hits zero, the final horn sounds, and that will do it from Chase Center tonight. 122-109 is the Streamers fly from overhead.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah.
Well, a disappointing overall performance in San Francisco as the Bucks fall to the Warriors. The win streak is over. And now, oh, by the way, you go to Utah and take on a Jazz team that I wouldn't say is resurgent, but they look a lot better now that Rudy Gobert is back. And it's an area, it's a state, it's an arena, it's a city where the Bucks just have not had very much recent success. So that's Monday. The Kings on Wednesday, a couple of days off, and then the Minnesota Timberwolves on Saturday. There's a lot to get to for next week because I think there was some foreshadowing and a lot of hints that were dropped. Some very big hints, if you catch my drift, before this game. I want to replay some of the things that Coach Budenholzer had to say about some of the players we have not seen for quite some time and when we may expect to see them back. I have a feeling Monday could be a very big day for the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. I'll explain why Monday seems like it's going to be a big day. You'll hear some of those comments from Bud. Also, some more Giannis praise. 201 points is all that separates Giannis from becoming the franchise's all-time scoring leader if he keeps playing at his current pace, scoring at his current pace. It seems like that mark would fall either in Philadelphia against the 76ers or in Brooklyn against the Nets. I think the hope is, hey, can you put it off one or two more games so it happens at home? The next home game the Bucks have in that range, unless Giannis just goes on a 50-point streak here, but the next home game within that range would be against the Los Angeles Clippers. But it's not a matter of if. It has all of a sudden become a matter of when that Giannis will break the franchise all-time scoring record. It was somewhat on the radar coming into this season. It was really under discussed as the season progressed. You started to see that number get bigger and bigger and larger, and the separation between he and Kareem get smaller and smaller. And it wasn't until around the All-Star break that you really examined it and thought, you know what, this could very well happen this season. What the Bucks have in front of them, again, we're looking at about 7 to 8 games it's going to take for Giannis to do this if he continues to score at the rate that he is currently scoring at. The 7th game is March 29th in Philadelphia against the Sixers. The 8th game is March 31st on the road in Brooklyn against the Nets. The 9th game, though, the Bucks not back until April 1st. Home against the Clippers. So we may see it in one of those three games that the record falls. I shared a couple of stats as well for Chris Middleton, who, oh, by the way, is going to continue to climb that list as well. But I want to get into Monday, what we were told by Bud, reading between the lines, why we think Monday could be a big day. 855-616-1620. Is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis comes away with a loose change. He's going the other direction. Into the front court. He skips into the front court before he hands it off to War. War lobs up top for Giannis, goes up for it, comes down, and then softly lays it in.
From essentially start to finish, just not a good night for the Bucks. It was a tie game going into the second quarter. That quarter would prove to be a disaster, thanks largely to the play of Klay Thompson. And another problematic third quarter tonight for the Bucks. You heard some of the comments, if you were listening to the network post game, from Coach Budenholzer about Klay Thompson. And you know, we heard going into the game, they were going to have to basically throw everything they had out there to stop Steph Curry. Steph Curry, a very, very quiet night. If I were to tell you Steph Curry would not even reach double figures, I think he had 5 points at halftime, you would think the Bucks are in pretty good shape. It did not, however, account for a 17-point second quarter from Klay Thompson, 5 threes in that quarter, and a big night from both Klay and Jordan Poole. And as Bud said, those two, you know, some of the things we said, we're going to have to throw everything out there. We're going to have to use some unconventional looks and do everything we could against Steph. That had nothing to do with those two getting open and getting loose, as he put it, and getting the looks that they got in this game. Some of the other guys, maybe you would attribute it to that. But with that duo, and especially Klay, this was just a night where Klay Thompson was a video game. Again, untouchable. Vintage Klay Thompson, as he said, you know, as much as we were trying to limit Steph Curry, it did open up opportunities for other guys. Klay was just good. You know, we could not defend what he was doing tonight. He was better than we could defend. 15 of 24, 8 of 14 from 3, 38 points, 30 points from Jordan Poole. Andrew Wiggins scored 21. Jonathan Kuminga with a big night off the bench. Klay Thompson and rebounding were the two biggest issues for the Bucks in tonight's game. You can't always dissect how good or bad you did on the glass by looking at the overall numbers, but tonight it does tell a fairly accurate story. 55 rebounds for the Warriors, 39 for the Bucks. Both teams had about the same amount of possessions and shots. 93 field goals for the Warriors, 92 attempts for the Bucks. 48% from the Warriors, 41%. So there wasn't a major discrepancy. Golden State was hotter. Both teams shot around 40% from three as well. Both teams had the same amount of opportunities on the glass. The Warriors just dominated it. And as you heard from the coach, second chance and loose balls, they just got to those. The Bucks did not. Stood out. You know, he was very blunt and frank that, yeah, rebounding was what really stood out in the eyeball test. When you look at the stats, that was one of the biggest deterrents to a victory tonight. It was a real problem for us. Couldn't take care of the defensive glass. They were beating us to 50-50 balls, loose balls. Rebounding was the most bothersome thing I saw tonight, was the quote from Coach Budenholzer. 12 offensive boards, they turned into 20 points. They being the Warriors. Just 8 for the Bucks. We touched so much the last couple of weeks. Rebounding, turnovers, bench scoring, all of these things that have been huge issues for the Bucks, they seemed to turn the corner and clean them up during this win streak, but really since February 1st, and tonight it was just a regression back to what we saw in most of December, certainly in that really bad month of January where the Bucks went 7-8. All of those things that gave the Bucks issues, we saw pop up once again tonight. The rebounding, the work there. Turnovers were not an issue tonight. But you're not going to win a game when the rebounding difference is as large as it was and the Warriors were getting offensive boards and turning them into points. And then, oh, by the way, you got Klay Thompson going nuclear. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. And Monday, I'm going to keep saying that. I will tell you why in just a second. But let's head to the phone lines and pop out to McQuantico and talk with Dave. You're up on Bucks Talk.
Hey, Justin. I'm just not too worried about tonight's game. I don't know why, but I feel like the Bucks always have one of these games where they get out physically played. But I feel like when it comes to crunch time, they know how to adjust really well. You saw that back in the playoffs last year, how they got blown out of the water by, like, Phoenix and the Hawks in the first two games, and they came back to win it. So I'm really not too worried. I think Budenholzer knows how to adjust, as evidenced by what he was saying tonight And the Bucks are just a veteran team that know how to adjust, so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, this wasn't one of the and thanks for the call, Dave. This wasn't one of the are you worried games, at least not for me, not for you either, that the Warriors made a lot of their opportunities. That, you know, you hear the old adage of you make your own luck. I mean, that was definitely the case tonight. I think the Warriors, they got a lot of those 50-50 balls. There were also a lot of those possessions where the loose ball just seemed to bounce their way. But when you're out there and you're dominating those hustle categories and you're getting to the loose balls and 50-50 possessions balls, more of them are going to go your way. So part of that was just the Warriors putting themselves in the position to get those. But you couldn't help but notice on a number of these tap outs and long rebounds, they were just going to the Warriors. And the ball would find itself to Klay Thompson whenever he missed. It is hard to believe when you look at the stat sheet, he missed 9 field goals because it seemed like every shot he took was going in. And then he missed 6 threes. I agree that, you know, this is just a night where you move on and you make sure you don't have a bad road trip, because as great as this month started, it can go south quickly. The schedule is still difficult, incredibly difficult, dare I say, for the Bucks. You're not out of the water yet. You're not out of the woods yet, I should say. So you don't want this to become a how did we start 4-0, 5-0, whatever it is here in March, 5-0. How do we start 5-0 and now all of a sudden, you know, we're 5-3 or we're 6-4? You don't want to get to that point, because what you just came out of when you beat the Heat, when you beat the Suns, albeit without Chris Paul and Devin Booker, you were able to build something there. The back-to-back wins against the Thunder and the Hawks on the surface, and when you look at the standings, it may not seem impressive, but those are the type of wins, I said, you needed to see from this team. We hadn't really seen that consistently from them. You got it. You knew this isn't going to be a 15-game win streak here, but you wanted to get this game coming in. You wanted to keep the win streak alive because Utah is going to be very, very difficult. There's some numbers, some eye-popping numbers about the Bucks' recent trips to Utah. I'll share with you in just a couple of minutes here. Sooner or later, it has to come to an end, but it hasn't been great for the last 20 years. You got the Sacramento Kings. You have to win that game. Dante DiVincenzo revenge game, perhaps, but you absolutely have to win that game against the Kings, because of the schedule that's at the end of the month, because you still have the Bulls, who just got Alex Caruso back, because you have a road game in Memphis, because you have road games in Philadelphia and Brooklyn to close out the month. There's still difficult games out here. So you absolutely have to win that Kings game. And teams like the Wizards that you got on the schedule, you got to win that game. You said, I think this team is going to win 10 or more games in the month of March. You're 5-1. Win on Monday, you're 6-1, and that's, you're trending towards a 12-2 record. You would certainly take that, but just a disappointing start. But yes, no reason to panic after what we've seen this team play markedly better in all those categories we just ran through, not just during the win streak, the last 6 weeks since February 1st. They've been a much different team, and we're starting to see them kick it into gear. You did get help tonight with Miami losing, and it keeps the Eastern Conference so very bunched up at the top. 3.5 games are separating 1 through 5 in the East. Is that a good thing, though, where the Bucks currently sit in the standings if we take it back to last week? We'll get into that. We will get into the disastrous numbers about the Bucks in Utah and why we keep referencing Monday. All of that next. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here come the Warriors the other way. Thompson catching, shoot three, all net. I mean, it is automatic right now for Klay. Just like that, the Bucks, who were back to within 12, are once again down by 17.
They had a couple of those runs where they knocked the margin down to 12. That was as close as they would get. And maybe the turning point in the game was that DeAndre Bembry injury, where, again, they got the margin down to 12. And it started to feel like they were building something. But a whistle on the play, foul, and on a three, on the contestion, on the closeout there by DeAndre Bembry, he would really insult to injury, literally, as the Warriors would connect on all three free throws. And this game was pretty much over from there. It was 93-81. Couple of minutes left in the third quarter. You thought if you can get this down to 9 or 8, get it back to the margin it was at halftime, it's a wash in the third quarter. And it was trending towards a disaster in the third quarter where the Warriors scored the first 11 points. You were feeling good. But then that injury, that to close out on Jordan Poole, he hits all three free throws, and it's up to 15. Now, Javon Carter did hit a three on the other end, but the Bucks just could not get stops. You had a Nemanja Bjelica layup, a turnover, a Klay Thompson three. And before you knew it, it went from 12 to 19 again in the span of a minute. That was the story of tonight's game. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage talk and text line. And now you regroup and move on to Monday in Utah. There's some numbers to share about the series here of late between the Bucks and the Utah Jazz, but I keep mentioning Monday. I cannot help but feel Monday is going to be a big day for this team, for one player specifically, and a long time coming. If we start by revisiting some of the things that Coach Budenholzer said before the game, and let's just look at this like The Usual Suspects or Saw or any mystery movie where you start to put the pieces together and you look back and you think, wait a minute, it was there all along, wasn't it? We've started to get some hints and some breadcrumbs along the way left for us of Brook Lopez is getting close. And at first it was, yeah, we feel pretty good. He will return this season. We feel confident in that. You start to hear more and more leaking out. Mark Lazary going on CNBC and saying, yes, Brook absolutely will be back. No timetable, though. That's the thing we heard for the longest time. Then we heard Brook Lopez had surgery. And then you start to wonder, does this mean his season's done? The Bucks did not apply for a hardship exemption, though, which you get when that player is deemed to be lost for the season. So you started to cling to hope there. Then we saw Brook Lopez made the trip to California to get a checkup, and everything went well. Then you start to see more and more encouraging signs. We would see Brook Lopez at practice. I would see Brook Lopez in the arena prior to games for the last couple of weeks, months. We would see more and more footage of Brook Lopez at practice, shooting, going through some drills. We heard just recently from Bud before the Bulls game. Yeah, Brook's been cleared for some contact. He's going to be able to do some 5-on-5s in contact. Then you would see more and more, oh, it's ramped up at practice for Brook Lopez. To me, one of the telltale signs, oh, it's really close, wasn't what we heard from Bud. We'll play you those comments, but it wasn't what we heard from Bud. I don't know if you saw this, Evan, where the Bucks do their all-access videos. That's where we first started to get glimpses of Brook Lopez. Did you see one of the more recent ones that they did? I don't know if this was an all-access movie, but a video from Bucks social media. Did you see one that came out just a day ago?
No, I missed that one.
Brook Lopez was in it. And you've seen him recently, right? With he's growing out the hair and he's got a beard. Most recent video. Tight and clean shaven, like we always see when he's on the floor. Huh. Then before the game.
Get out of last week's 5-on-5s and contact in the way you hope.
Yeah, no, he's done really, really well. So had another one yesterday and he's doing well. So, you know, we continue to be happy with his progress.
What's next for him then, in your view?
You know, I think just continue to work, on his body, his conditioning. We'll see how he feels. And, you know, I'd say he's getting close.
Can I mean, I realize on a trip like this, practice time is probably non-existent. I mean, is there anything he can do with you on this trip to sort of go progress along that way?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the good thing is with us having 2 days without a game, we actually got a little bit of a practice in, and to some degree, you know, a lot for him, and he was able to have a really good day yesterday, Friday morning. You know, we'll find our spots and, you know, we'll figure out what's best for him, you know, for this trip.
I would say he's close, was the quote we heard from Butt. You see, it may be something, it may not. You see Brook Lopez getting the haircut and shaving. I would say he's close. The fact that this organization, this coaching staff that has been as tight-lipped as they have been, is willing to say, I would say he is getting close. There's that. We go back a couple of days ago as well, before the game against the Hawks on Wednesday, where I was in the Jim Paschke media room where Bud addresses the media prior to game and was asked specifically about the road trip. Will Brook travel with you? Yes. I know last time you guys were in California, he went on some post-op checkups there. Is that the reason why he is going to be traveling with you? No. There's been a lot of dates kicked around, and when we caught up with our teammate here, Greg Matzik, he's been leading the charge on this March 22nd. That's when Brook will be back. Let's just dissect this piece by piece. He's getting ready for games, right? It seems ridiculous, but the haircut, the shaving, he's getting ready to be on the floor. He went on the road trip. And there is no medical reason behind it. He's not going to meet with the surgeon or go through any checkups. He's going on the road trip. He's been very active the last couple of games in warmups. Initially, it was we would see him going through, you know, just shooting the ball and a couple of drills that it appeared he was going half speed. That's not the case. We saw footage of earlier today. I saw him Wednesday prior to the Hawks game. He's going through it. And then today, Bud tells us, yeah, he's getting close. All of that, but especially going on the road trip for no medical reason. The team committing to, I would say he's close. I think Brook Lopez will be back Monday against the Utah Jazz. If you look at all that, you take all the hints and all the clues, I think you're going to see him back on the floor Monday night against the Utah Jazz. Tomorrow's injury report may tell us a lot. And the Bucks don't have to submit it until the afternoon. It may not be until Monday that we get any of these clues. But if he is anything but out on that injury report, I think you're going to see him on the floor Monday night against the Utah Jazz. If we walk through this entire timeline, all of these things that we've picked up the last week, I think help is on the way Monday night. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Before we take a break, let's head back to the phone lines. Talk with Mike in Shorewood. You're up on Bucks Talk.
Hey, how you doing, man? That was a rough one tonight. I didn't think Golden State would blow the Bucks out there with Curry struggling. They didn't really even need him tonight. And Thompson, understandably, was slumping, but tonight really got it going early. And I was wrong about Jordan, Milwaukee's own Jordan Poole. What a player he's turned out to be. Yeah. That kid's going to be like a compare him like a Tyler Hero type, where he's just instant offense. Man, he's playing some phenomenal basketball. I thought maybe he'd be a G League player, but man, I was proven wrong. Good to see a Milwaukee guy. And I think he ultimately wanted to play with the Bucks. But man, I think if I'm him, I would thrive there with Golden State playing with two of the best shooters ever in Curry and Thompson. But good to see him bust out. Didn't want to see him do it tonight against the Bucks. But man, he's playing great ball. But as far as the Bucks go, when Curry's not going tonight, you want to attack the rim. They're undersized. No Draymond Green. All Looney's all they got. You don't want to get in a shootout with a team like that when they're rolling, because when they've got it going like that, you're not going to outshoot the Warriors, the best shooting team in the league still, for my money. When they got their guys going, but. rough way to see the win streak come to an end tonight, especially with Miami losing. You could have made up a game on them tonight, but I expect them to clean it up. You're playing great basketball overall. You got another tough matchup in Utah, so you want to make sure to get right, because Utah playing great basketball as well, and one of the top teams in the West there. So, and then after that, Sacramento, expect that should be an easy win. And then Timberwolves, man, they're playing some good ball too. So I thought maybe one loss at most. I didn't think they would lose tonight. I thought maybe they would lose to Utah. So hopefully just clean that up here and get it going, because I think the Bucks want to get that top seed regardless of what they say. What are your thoughts on that? I really do think that I want that one seed. I think the Heat are up two games on us. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because this month is going to be some brutal basketball. You got Philly mixed in there, the Nets. They can beat anybody when they're on. So hopefully tonight was a learning lesson, and they can clean up against Utah. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Heat 2.5 up, but two games up in the loss column. I mentioned this too. We'll get into this in a couple of minutes. Where the Bucks are now, I don't know that I would say they want the one seed. I think we saw last year. I really do think this team legitimately does not care where they're seated. I mean, so long as it's not 7th, 8th, somewhere in that nature. But I don't think they're concerned with finishing 1st or 2nd or 3rd. But it is worth noting, after what we saw on Thursday, the 2 seed may not be what you actually want. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. More on the seedings and the importance there. But look, we just laid out all the details. I think you're seeing Brook Lopez Monday night against the Utah Jazz. And they're going to need him, because it has been two decades since they have won in Utah. Will the potential return of Brook Lopez be what changes the Bucks' fortunes in Utah? More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. A Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis left of the lane. He's going to pull up with a hand in his face, and he will sink the 15-footer from left of the lane. So he now sits with 22 points. And has reached 14,000 career points now in his illustrious career as he tracks down Kareem for the all-time franchise record in scoring.
Only two players in franchise history have scored 14,000 points in a Bucks uniform, Giannis and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he now needs just 201 points to pass Giannis, to pass Kareem for the most points scored in Bucks franchise history. 201, by the way, is the exact same figure Chris Middleton needs to pass Marcus Johnson for 7th on the Bucks all-time list. And think about this. Giannis is going to pass Kareem this season. If we go off of points scored for Chris Middleton and assume he plays at the same level and plays at the same average here for scoring proficiency as he has the last 4 to 5 years. This year, Giannis will pass Kareem for the most points scored in franchise history. By the end of next year, Chris Middleton will pass Glenn Robinson and become the third leading scorer in Bucks franchise history. Giannis, Kareem, and Chris, that is your top three in all likelihood by the end of next season. This is truly a golden age of Bucks basketball. You suffered, if you were old enough, you suffered through the 80s, where the suffering was falling short in the postseason. A great team, one of the best teams in that decade, and probably the best team to never play for a championship. And now you finally get that championship 50-plus years later. You get Giannis as maybe the best player in the league. We haven't even mentioned his MVP case, but Giannis still up there. We go over the Basketball Reference MVP tracker, and prior to tip-off tonight, Giannis had started to narrow the gap with Nikola Jokic. Not quite updated after tonight's games, but according to Basketball Reference, a 41% chance for Nikola Jokic a 30% chance for Giannis. Before that, that gap was much wider. But they are basically telling you, hey, Joel Embiid, cute story. Ja Morant's been great. Jimmy Butler, if you want to throw him in there. Rudy Gobert has gotten some mention. Luka Doncic starting to play a lot better. Chris Paul, the injury is going to ultimately cost him that. You have seen some DeMar DeRozan. But what this is telling you is, hey, by the numbers, these two guys. It's going to be one of these two guys. And oh, by the way, the last three MVPs have gone to those two guys. So, and essentially a 70% chance, according to Basketball Reference, that the MVP will go to Giannis or Nikola Jokic for a fourth consecutive season. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. We laid out the case in the last segment. I think Brooke Lopez is returning on Monday. I think we've gotten enough clues here, and we've seen enough. We've heard enough from Bud. I think you're going to see him back on the floor Monday night against the Utah Jazz. And they're going to need him because we finally get to our stat of the day. The stat pertains to the Utah Jazz.
Everybody in here, stat.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
If, in fact, Brooke Lopez does make his return on Monday, you will have another big man in the rotation to go up against Rudy Gobert, who may be the defensive player of the year. It's either going to be he or Giannis. And to give you some more size to hopefully combat what we saw with issues on the glass tonight. And most importantly, to snap a 19-game losing streak in Utah. The Bucks have not won in Utah since the season opener of the 2001 season. The last time the Bucks beat the Jazz in Utah, Anthony Mason was making his Bucks debut. It has been that long. Now, it's not the worst stretch the Bucks have had in franchise history. Remember, they've had success somewhat recently, specifically in the playoffs. But the Bucks had lost 24 straight games in Phoenix against the Suns. It started in 1988. It came to an end in 2013. You hope we don't have another 20-plus game streak we're talking about. And if the Bucks don't take care of business on Monday night, it will be 20. But the last time the Bucks won in Utah, Anthony Davis, God rest his soul, was making his Bucks debut. 19 is the stat of the day. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. What the scores from tonight mean with the NBA standings, we'll get to that. More thoughts from you as well. Am I wrong? Do you think Brooke Lopez will be returning? I think it's fair to say it's going to be on this road trip. If it's not Monday, it's going to be Wednesday. But you're starting to get the sense, man, this feels like Monday. 855-616-1620. More after this. It's Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The hardwood homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Allen's got it now on the inbound pass. He'll send it left to the lane to Giannis. Giannis backing in on Harden. He's going to try to attack that all day. Kicks it into the corner. Here's Lopez, who drills another three. Another Coors Light three.
Starting to feel like we may hear that call once again Monday night as the Bucks head to Utah to take on the Jazz. Again, 19-game losing streak in Utah. The Bucks have played 52 games in Utah against the Jazz. They've won 17. So, yes, the last 20 years have been brutal, but there hasn't been a whole lot of success in Utah. 17-35. And if we go back to 1989, Bucks have won three times in 32 games in Utah against the Jazz. Maybe, just maybe, Brook Lopez is the good luck charm and snaps that losing streak. I think you're going to see him on Monday. The quote tonight from Bud, and as protective as the Bucks have been on any type of timetable for Brook Lopez to hear tonight, I would say he's close. I mean, that's as close to a truthful answer in that setting as you're going to get from Bud. That learning last week, he wasn't going to be on the road trip because he had to get any type of checkup or go back to see the surgeon or any of that. No, he's just coming on the road trip with us. That right there to me escalated the whole process of, well, if he's traveling with them, there's no reason for his return date to be a home game. And look, the play of Serge Ibaka. Evan, you mentioned to me, when did Serge Ibaka score 15 points? I mean, he was very quietly efficient and good tonight. And overall, he's put together a stretch of three straight pretty good games. So is PJ Tucker? No. But you get Brook back, you get Serge Ibaka playing like this, you have Bobby Portis and Giannis. All of a sudden, the biggest weakness the Bucks had is becoming a strength of sorts. But look, sooner or later. So coming into this game, Warriors were struggling. They have not really been the same team for a while now. And Steph Curry, 8 points tonight. I mean, Steph Curry's another guy, too, that ever since he broke the record becoming the three-point king in NBA history, ever since that happened, it was all the way back in December against the Knicks, December 14th. The Warriors were 23-5 when that happened. Gone 23-17 since. Steph Curry's just been okay. Now, they did have a 9-game win streak from January to February, but outside of that, this hasn't been the same team. They've currently won 3 in a row, but that came after a 5-game losing streak and then a pair of 2-game losing streaks. There's just something that's been off. But with those struggles, you thought, Warriors are probably due for a win. With that same logic, is it not true the Bucks are due for a win Monday in Utah against the Jazz? 19 straight losses. Let this sink in to all the longtime Bucks fans. The last time the Bucks beat the Jazz, we had a different radio voice. Jim Paskey was calling the games on TV. I believe it was on Channel 18. I remember watching it. Anthony Davis made his Bucks debut the last time they won in Utah. We look for that to end Monday night. 9 o'clock tip, 8:30 is when our coverage will begin with Buckshots. My thanks to Max and Evan for producing the show and all you guys for hanging out for the last hour. You've been listening to Buckstalk presented by Gruber Law Offices.